is KAYTFM.
88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. 100.1 Lake Charles.
And KQJO FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
1 Kings 17, if you know what I mean. Go there quick. It's going to bless you, man. 1 Kings 17, verse 14. It's on the screens, and I want you to take a look at it. This is the word of God from Israel. The jar of flour will not run out. I'm going to try it again. Anybody who's struggling financially, even a little bit, I think you should have caught this. The jar of flour will not run out. Stuff may get tight, but the jar of flour will not run out. Do me a favor, those in the overflow watching on Facebook, online, all over the world, downtown, do me a favor, push three people and tell them you won't run out. You won't run out. I said three people, you push two. Push three people. That's two and a half people. Push three people and tell them you won't run out. You may be seated in the Lord's house. Every now and then, there's what we call these homiletic conundrums or these good preaching problems. I'm faced with two major situations at the same time. On the one hand, we celebrate the life and legacy of so many wonderful persons of color that have helped us to make it through the West African diaspora to this present moment. On the other hand, unashamedly and unapologetically, it is our giving season. Every church needs one. You like getting your tax refund. Every church needs a time when the people give more than usual to pay bills, help the poor, make it do what it do for Jesus. So the question becomes, which one would I deal with? And then as usual, I heard something speak to my spirit and say the two are not mutually exclusive because we are some of the givenest people that God ever made. At the same time, we do celebrate the life and legacy of tremendous African Americans and persons of color that have done admirable things to make this nation what it is. So how do you preach this? Elisha, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. I don't know who reads their Bible. I try not to assume anything when I stand up to preach so everybody can get something. Elijah, say Elijah, say Elisha. All I can do, truth be told, don't it sound like they twins? But truth be told, no, it's a mentee, mentor. Elijah, mentor. Elisha, mentee. Elijah, spiritual father. Elisha, spiritual son. Elijah, teacher. Elisha, student. Bishop Joey Johnson, mentor. Dr. R.A. Vernon, mentee. Bishop Joey Johnson, spiritual father. Dr. R.A. Vernon, spiritual son. Bishop Joey Johnson, teacher. Pastor Vernon, student. Now you see, when you look at the narrative, always remember Elijah was the papa and Elisha was the student. I like this particular narrative because Elisha says to Elijah, I want what's on you. They keep on putting these young people in front of me, everybody on the front row in the 20, 25 range, 19, 20, 25. I love it. If I can get them to catch anything, it's always hang around somebody that know more than you and suck all you can out of their brain and their mind and their intelligence and get a hold of it. Elisha says to Elijah, I want what's on your life. And he tells him what I've told so many who wouldn't listen that have been around me that I wanted to promote to pastorate, that I wanted to help get to the next level. I had one piece of advice for him: hang around till I tell you. If you hang around long enough, I'll give you double what's on me. Oh, somebody shout for Elder Mark. He hung around. Come on. He hung around, and if you hang around long enough, here's what he says. If you hang around long enough, I'll give you double what's on my life. You'll receive the double portion. Bible readers know Elijah did 8 miracles. Elisha did 16. You missed your first shout. Touch two people, say, get ready for double. Go ahead. 2019 is the year of double. Everything you've been waiting for, everybody that's been faithful to your children and raised your daughter and put up with your son and was faithful to your husband and came to church. Slap three people, say double, 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 double. God says, get ready. And so, I want to take a couple of weekends and deal with Elijah. And Elisha, I've never really done a teaching on the life of Elijah or the life of Elisha. I think if you stick with me, you'll know. Many of you may remember this text when the Cavs in 2016 won the championship, because I want you to catch what the Bible says. Look at the opening verse. It's on the screen. The Bible says, God then told Elijah, get out of here, head east. I have commanded some birds to feed you. Now look at me, here's the content so you can grab the context. Want you to catch this, the context so you can grab the content. There is a drought in the land. It hasn't rained, everybody is hungry, recession as it were, it's bad. Remember when the Cavs won the championship, I got up and preached the drought is over. Yeah, can I just suggest over your life it's been a little dry, but I got an announcement to make. The drought is over. It's been dry in your relationships. Your ideas have dried up. You're feeling a little funky. You're feeling a little off. You haven't been feeling creative. You've been feeling like you're in a bit of a drought. But God sent you this weekend to break the drought, and water is about to flow in your life relationally and financially. I know it's early in the message, but stand up and sit back down and holler, I received that. There was a drought. There was a drought. And God says to Elijah, get up and go to Kerith. There's a brook there you'll get water from. And there's a bird that will feed you. Now look at me. There's a brook there. Say brook. It's dry. They're in recession. He says, everyone else is in recession, but not you. You've been touching your neighbor too much. But lean on somebody and say, I know there's a recession, but I'm not participating. Go ahead and tell somebody. I heard Dr. Myers, my educational mentor, say something that blessed me. He talked about, and thinkers come here, he talked about a book that I want him to write. I want him to write this book called The Third Economy. Because the first economy, by the way, don't go to heaven until you read Cornel West's and Tavis Smiley's The Rich and the Rest of Us. They co-wrote that, The Rich and the Rest of Us. In it, they talk about how really there's two economies. There's people, you do know, that less than 10% have 90% of the world's wealth. So the rich and the rest of us. So there's the economy for rich people, then there's the economy for people who are not so rich. Watch this, you missed it. But the third economy is the believers. Because we operate, and if you want Bible, and I wrote my whole dissertation on this, Acts 2 talks about how they pooled their resources together in Acts 2, and the Bible says, and no one was in need. Now that's cold-blooded. Tell me any place you know where there's no one in need. Every person that was a part of the Acts church, not one of them had any need when everybody else in the city was dealing with poverty. There's so much money in the kingdom when you get on God's side and do things God's way. I don't care what's happening in America or Cleveland or on your job, he will make a way. I feel it now. I feel it now. Out of no way. And let me tell you how cold God is. You've been reading this all your life. He said there's a recession. There's no water. There's no food. But get up and go where I'm telling you. I've commanded a raven to feed you there. Now, every time I say that, I'm amazed when people sitting there like, whatever, like a bird just fed you last. God said to the man, I got a bird. Now, y'all just missed this, because all of you that are struggling with your resources right now, all of you that your boss is a trip, you don't have to kiss his behind, and you don't have to bring no apple to work. Lean on somebody and say, God got a bird. Go ahead. Y'all just missed that. Baby, God got a bird that will feed you. If the whole world turned their back on you, God got a bird that will take care of you. If your job closed down and moved to Mexico, God got a bird. Oh, I wish I had somebody know God got a bird. You're not shouting because you don't know what I mean by bird. Sometimes bird was when you had to stay with your mama for a while, but at least God had a bird. Some of you, you had a food stamp card, but God had a bird. Some of you had to borrow a couple dollars from your cousin, but God had a bird. Some of you went through a little something, had to get some food from the shelter like I did when you was little, but God had a bird. Slap five people, say, God got a bird, God got a bird. It may get tight, but when you in God's hands, he will send somebody to provide for you. God said you ain't got to sleep with nobody and drop it like it's hot. He said stand straight up in the word of God, and I will provide more than any sugar daddy can give you. All of you brothers that work hard like pastor, don't ever tell your wife, girl, you can't make it without me. Don't get it twisted, player. God got a bird. Don't die and find out. I'm glad I take care of my wife, but I ain't crazy enough to think God can't take care of her without me. Baby, when you in God's hands and you a tither and you dropping first fruits and you trying to live right and you not lazy, he will find some kind of way to get you what you need. I don't know who I came to preach to. Let him take the car. He'll give you a bus ticket. Let him take the house. He'll give you a hotel room. Let him cut the water off. Somebody will bring you some water. If you're on God's side, 10 of y'all should have ran your first fruit up here that quick. God got a bird. I don't know who I came to preach to. And so I say to every brother in here who's struggling in your money, brother, you got a beautiful heart. You just keep working hard. Pay your tithe every time you get something. Handle what you gotta handle. Honor your family. Don't flow in slothfulness. Don't hang out in apathy. And watch God provide. And the text says in the next verse, everybody, the next verse says, and it just blesses me, Elijah obeyed God's orders. I thought that was worth highlighting, because to minimize that would be to minimize this entire feeble dissertation, because maybe the most pregnant part of this preaching is this passage, because it says, God said, look, there's a recession, brook, all that, go there. Elijah obeyed God's orders. Don't minimize that. God drops an order. The next sentence says, Elijah obeyed. I went to teen church yesterday, YF. Y'all feel this too. I think some of y'all coming out to the house. I want to hang with you this Friday and some of the leadership, because I want to talk about this whole idea that can change your life. Because I said, now what do I teach? Because I went to teen church, and teens can't handle but 20 minutes and then they gone. Yeah, they gone to the phone. So part of preaching is know your audience. Future preachers, all communicators, know your audience. As soon as I walk in, I surmise, very intelligent crowd, well-to-do. Who are they? Take it up, keep it here, take it down, whatever you got to do, you got to know. And when I go in there, it's like, hurry up. And so I said, I can't preach this whole sermon because they'll fall asleep. So what part will I key in on at teen church? That's the verse I keyed in on, because the Bible says he got an instruction. The next verse says he got up and did it. So it got me thinking about probably my most famous quote, the one that maybe you should put on my epitaph, or the one I won't quote it. I know I keep threatening this book. I'm going to write Vernonisms, all the little things I say in quotes that when you're going through something in life, you can grab pastor's book and say, I remember a pastor used to say, and look at it. And here's, I think, maybe the most quoted quote I have, the most thing I say all the time, and that is success in life to a great extent. YF, come on, take a picture. I want you to get it. It's based on your willingness and ability to follow instructions. Everybody in here, I don't care how old or how young you are, give this to your child. Go home and teach this tonight. It'll change their life. Success in life, to a great extent, is based on your willingness and ability to follow instructions. Don't minimize what I just said. Who are the most successful people? People who learn to follow instructions. Who's dealing with some stuff from their past? Most would tell you, places they didn't follow instructions. I told you this before, but you didn't hear me. I said immaturity hates instructions. I said maturity craves it. I get on the intercom, Ralph, time to go to bed. Why? Because you got to go to school tomorrow. Why? I said, one day you're going to be coming home looking for your bed. Praise God. Baby, don't call me. Don't bother me. I just want to go to sleep for a minute. But right now, in maturity, remember you were young, baby, don't do that. Don't go over there. Mama, why we can't go? Y'all just so, you hate instructions. Get to be my age, you crave them. Please let me find somebody smarter than me to give me an instruction. Let me see somebody been with their wife 20 years and didn't bust a move on her so I can learn how to stay with mine. Give me an instruction on how, when you come to church, you don't just come to clap your hands, you come for instructions. You walk in here and say, give me an instruction from God's word on how to be a better single. Tell me as a young wife how to put up with a brother when we both got a past. Tell me how to handle my finances. Tell me how to be a better father. I come here for instructions, and I want you to understand there's so many people. So I get to teen church. I say, look, before you fall asleep, I got three instructions, and I want you to carry them the rest of your life. I got like 100, but maybe you can remember these three. Don't make love to nobody until you get married. Have all your children by them. And if you don't have a lot of bruhs in your bed, you won't have none to compare your husband to. And bruh, if you don't look at mess, then she'll be enough. So get a girl that's sexy to you, that loves Jesus, plus you haven't been with nobody else, she'll be enough. Number two, get as much money as you can by educating yourself and being smart with your money, even if your parents broke or don't live with you. Number three, don't ever walk away from Jesus. I said, now if you do them three things, is there anybody here thinking, I wish I would have followed them instructions? I'd have more money and less kids. Say amen, praise God. Can I tell all of you there's a blessing? And even if you did none of the above, it's a sad mama don't want her daughter to do better than her. It's a sad father don't want his son to do better than him. Follow instruction. The instructions were, I got a bird for you. The Bible says he went up and went. Now look at the next verse, and I want you to catch this. Go back one verse. Go back one verse. Go back one. Go back. The Bible says, and sure enough, they brought him meals for supper and dinner. He gets to that place where God told him, and God provided for him there. Brought him dinner. Brought him lunch. Everything God said. But the next verse says, and the brook dried up. Oh, y'all just missed y'all second shout. Did I tell y'all that God's the one that told him to go to the brook, and at the brook you'll find water, a bird will feed you? So he's chilling, bird bringing him breakfast, lunch, dinner, that's good. And then there's fresh water in the brook. He's chilling, and all of a sudden the brook dried up. I don't know who the Lord sent me to preach to, but some of you came this weekend because the brook has dried up. You was walking around your job the other day thinking, this has dried up. Some of you were in a relationship and looked at him one day and said, this has dried up. Some of you were dealing with a family member and thought, I'm not coming over here no more until Thanksgiving. This has dried up. How do you know when something has dried up? Because God will make you uncomfortable. Because God says, as long as I provide for you here, then you'll never go to your next level. So the only way to push you to your next wet place is to let this one dry up. Slap somebody and say, I'm glad they cheated. Go ahead. Because had they not cheated, I would have never known what big a fool he was. But God revealed to me that that brook has dried up. And I don't know who I came to preach to this weekend, but there's at least five people that's uncomfortable where you are. That's because God is trying to push you to your next place of provision. And as long as you are comfortable right here, you will never go back to school. You'll never pursue your next level. You'll never look for something better. So God says, as long as you can just make it, you'll stay. So I'm going to shut the door completely and dry it up. Shameless plug. The first book I ever wrote was The Blessing Behind Closed Doors. I'm so glad God dried up that brook. If they hadn't locked me out, I never would have met the most beautiful people in the world. The Lord changed my life, but in order to do it, he had to dry up a brook. Stop tripping because doors are closing. Here's your third shout. God said, I'll open up a door that no man can close. Yeah. And I'll shut a door, yeah, that no man can open. Now do me a favor. Don't just praise God for the good stuff. Take 10 seconds and praise him for dried up brooks. Praise him for everybody that walked away from you. Praise him for everybody that broke up with you. Praise him for everybody that lied on you. Praise him for every job that laid you off. Praise him for every family member that talked about you. Praise him for everybody that bust a move on you. God was setting you up for something more significant, but you never would have got there unless the brook.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T. Gina Alexandria.
The Bible says, and sure enough, they brought him meals for supper and dinner. He gets to that place where God told him, and God provided for him there. Brought him dinner, brought him lunch, everything God said. But the next verse says, and the brook dried up. Oh, y'all just missed y'all second shout. Did I tell y'all that God's the one that told him to go to the brook, and at the brook you'll find water, a bird will feed you? So he's chilling, bird bringing him breakfast, lunch, dinner, that's good. And then there's fresh water in the brook. He's chilling, and all of a sudden, the brook dried up. I don't know who the Lord sent me to preach to, but some of you came this weekend because the brook has dried up. You was walking around your job the other day thinking, this has dried up. Some of you were in a relationship and looked at him one day and said, this has dried up. Some of you were dealing with a family member and thought, I'm not coming over here no more until Thanksgiving. This has dried up. How do you know when something has dried up? Because God will make you uncomfortable. Because God says, as long as I provide for you here, then you'll never go to your next level. So the only way to push you to your next wet place is to let this one dry up. Slap somebody and say, I'm glad they cheated. Go ahead. Because had they not cheated, I would have never known what big a fool he was. But God revealed to me that that brook has dried up. And I don't know who I came to preach to this weekend, but there's at least five people that's uncomfortable where you are. That's because God is trying to push you to your next place of provision. And as long as you are comfortable right here, you will never go back to school. You'll never pursue your next level. You'll never look for something better. So God says, as long as you can just make it, you'll stay. So I'm going to shut the door completely and dry it up. Shameless plug. The first book I ever wrote was The Blessing Behind Closed Doors. I'm so glad God dried up that brook. If they hadn't locked me out, I never would have met the most beautiful people in the world. The Lord changed my life, but in order to do it, he had to dry up a brook. Stop tripping because doors are closing. Here's your third shout. God said, I'll open up a door that no man can close. Yeah. And I'll shut a door. Yeah. That no man can open. Now do me a favor. Don't just praise God for the good stuff. Take 10 seconds and praise him for dried up brooks. Praise him for everybody that walked away from you. Praise him for everybody that broke up with you. Praise him for everybody that lied on you. Praise him for every job that laid you off. Praise him for every family member that talked about you. Praise him for everybody that bust a move on you. God was setting you up for something more significant, but you never would have got there unless the brook. Oh, I feel church. Woo! 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 I don't know who that part was for, but I came to preach to uncomfortable people. I came to preach to people that everything around you seems dry. I came to preach to people that's contemplating walking out of there and never coming back. I came to preach to people that God is picking on you right now. I came to preach to people that's smarter than your boss. I came to preach to people that's bigger than your atmosphere. I came to preach to people that want more than what you got. And the reason why stuff feels dry is because God said, if I don't dry it up, you'll never get to Zarephath. And speaking of Zarephath, the next verse says, go to Zarephath. I feel like preaching in my own church. Go to Zarephath. And before you key in on the widow, I think we need to zoom in, player, on Zarephath. Because God got a place for you. A particular place where he wants to bless you. And here's next week's sermon. Sometime, God sends you someplace and you're not even there for you. I just need you to come next week. I just need you to come next week. Because many of you think that you're on your job for money when you know you're smarter than where you work. God got you there for one person you don't know about. that's been watching you 3.5 years, and they are close to giving their life to Jesus. Just because everybody else comes in on Monday looking crazy, you come in smiling, talking about praise the Lord, everybody. And you have no idea, you're not there for money. You're the only brother he know that don't creep on his wife. You're the only brother he know that has that kind of joy. Now, once God accomplishes what he needs to accomplish, you'll look up and another job has called you and it's time to go. You're not always in a situation for you. Sometimes you in it for your family. Sometimes you in it to get your cousin saved. Sometimes God got you in something for one reason. You didn't just marry him to make love to him. You married him to change him. You married your evangelism. Yes, you should have prayed, but God says, since you in it, I'm going to use you, the sanctified wife, sanctifies the unbelieving husband. This is in the scripture, everybody. I ain't got time. It's on the screen. Go to Zarephath. I have instructed a widow. Woo! Can I teach like I feel it this morning? I have instructed a widow. One version says, I have commanded a widow. This girl husband done died. She ain't got no money. She ain't got nothing. Just her and her baby and her husband. But I've commanded her to feed you. Go there. Now, wait a minute. Let's do this deductively. So wait a minute. Go to the brook. I'm going to let a bird feed you. Okay, now, go to Zarephath. I'm going to let a woman you never met feed you. The next verse, somebody's going to miss the first sentence, so he got up. I'm going to preach this better. I got to become a better preacher. Y'all pray for me. I got to study more, do something, work on my delivery, because it's amazing to me how people shout on ignorance and sit on substance. Because what I just said was so substantive, because I made you go one place that didn't make sense and you went. Then I dry up the brook and give you another order and say, go to Zarephath. So he got up. You'd be surprised how many of you miss your destiny because you wouldn't get up. There's brothers here now that's smarter than pastor will ever be, but you won't get up. You won't take a chance. You won't go ahead and finish that schooling and go back and get that GED. Humble yourself, and God will exalt you in due time. It's not embarrassing to go do what you got to do to get what you got to get. Don't nobody feel sorry for you except Jesus and your mama. You're going to have to get up and get what you got to get for yourself, but nobody's going to give it to you. I told my wife, let's don't even use the word tired in this house for a year, because we get to go to church. I get to do 8 services, and ain't nobody gonna give you nothing. You gotta put your trust in God and get up. Do me a favor, go James Brown, push 3 people, say, get on up. That's black history, black history, black history, black history. So he got up, put it on the screen, I want him to see it. So he got up and went to Zarephath, and he told a widow that was gathering some firewood. He said, hey, what's up? Hey, baby, I'm Reverend Elijah, Word Church in Jerusalem, and I was, would you please bring a brother a little something to drink? Bring me something to drink. Oh, while you're there, give me something to eat, too. Now, I've told y'all 3 or 4 times, but it's never been more fitting than Black History Month. This sister couldn't have been black. I got a lot of beautiful, precious white daughters. Our Akron Church is our most multicultural church. I'm serious, all kind of beautiful white members that go there. And I told them, I said, all of my white daughters, please hear me. There is some differences between y'all and the sisters. Now, y'all are put up with some stuff, but there's some stuff that you just can't say to a sister. And this stranger gonna tell her, give me something to drink. She says, okay, no problem, I'll be polite. You've been walking a little while. But then he gonna add, and give me something to eat too. I mean, I can't do it like y'all. I'm all man, but, you know. And what's your name, Reverend who? Reverend, what church? What possessed your brain to think? My husband dead, I didn't even cook for him. And you think I told him when we met, I don't cook. I told his behind when we met, I'm not cooking a thing. And he died of hunger. That's not in the Bible. Shut up. Man, this is not a comedy show. Y'all gonna stop laughing at my church. I'm gonna start another church with some serious people. All y'all in the front, you're too young to laugh. Shut up. I ain't even cooked for him. You're gonna tell me. And here's what's crazy. Go make me something to eat. Now, look at the woman's response in the next verse, everybody. She says, "Brother minister, pastor, man of God, I'm not trying to be funny, but I don't have nothing but a little something. I got a handful of flour in a jar and just a little bit of oil, little bit of grease, a little bit of flour, and I'm gonna eat this with my baby, and we gonna die." Now, all of you think that she has a resource issue, but she has a mindset issue. Because what told her she was gonna die? Yeah, when you got a child, how you get to say we gonna die? Girl, you gotta do what you gotta do. Because he dead and because you low, so your whole sense of significance was based on who you were sleeping with. Maybe he used to provide, maybe he did not handle his business, men, of leaving some insurance for you. Because I'm dead does not mean y'all should be hungry. Because what I spent on PlayStation and food, I could have had a $200,000 policy for $99 a month. I will be mad at any man of this ministry who does not fight for life insurance. Don't let me bury you, and she asks us to pay for it. Because you ain't handle your business while you're still alive. Something needs to be said about this, brother. God bless him. And I know I don't want to anachronistically impose 21st century thinking on Old Testament text. Anachronistically is when you act like they had iPhones in the Old Testament. So I don't know if they had insurance policies. That's anachronistic. But whatever he could have done to posture them, I've been acting like I was going to die since I was 31. I've had policies, and you don't have to have a lot of money. Matter of fact, you can make more dead than alive if you concentrate on what's important. We ain't got no money, Mr. Preacher, so we just going to eat this little bit and die. What happened to her mindset? I hope you come to the Word Church, because I refuse to let you just meddle in mediocrity. No, you can make it. I don't know what mistake you've made, bro. I don't know what kind of felony you got, but you still here. Don't lean on somebody and say, "I'm still here." Go ahead. And if you got breath in your body, you still got a chance. I don't care who divorced you, who left you, who dropped you, who didn't raise you, what color you are. Baby, if you got strength in your body and the Holy Spirit, God can help you get up and survive no matter what's happening with the economy. I know the government closed for a couple weeks, but the windows of heaven stayed open, and God can bless a tither. I don't have nothing but a little oil. Really what she, goodbye, y'all tired of me. Really what she was saying is, all I got, I wish my grandmother, Mudd in heaven, who on the, oh God, y'all put the youngest women, y'all got these Jiffy Mix chicks on the front. Why would y'all put Jiffy Mix chicks? This the one day I needed some biscuit making. You gonna put all the Jiffy Mix, we all know every woman here under 30 is a Jiffy Mix chick, and I wanted one woman on the front that knows something about some flour and some oil and rolling the, and my mother-in-law makes the best biscuits God ever made. She still wear white on the first Sunday, old school. I'm telling y'all, I needed somebody. Grandma, when I was in a hurry, she didn't have time to make biscuits, so she'd make a hoe cake. A hoe cake? That's not a whore that makes a cake. Some of y'all are like, "I can make one of them, man." You need a whole cake? I got a whole cake. I got a whole cake. You want a whole... Alvin, stop. Don't even take a picture of me. Lean on somebody and say, I love my church. You can leave if you want to. I'm not going to sleep at your mother's church. I'm going right to the Word. Hey! That's when you take the biscuit and you put it on top of the skillet in a little oil and fry it and flip it kind of like a pancake. So it's a biscuit, but you don't bake it, you kind of fry it. The woman says, all I have is a little whole cake. I can't never say that again in my life without laughing. I can't never say whole cake again the rest of my life without laughing. Oosha. We're going to eat this and we're going to die. I got to go. It's Black History Month. Shame on me if I don't become the teacher now with these beautiful black brothers looking at me on the front row, because put it on the screen one time. Let's key in on one phrase. She says, all I have is a little oil. Look what she says. I just have a little oil. All I have is a little. And I thought, wait a minute. There it is. First Fruit Week. Black history, how do you conflate the two? There it is, R.A. She says, I got a little. And then this term jumped in my mind, player. The limitlessness of a little. The limitlessness of a little. Because that pushed me back to black history, which, of course, begins not in America, but in Africa. And of course, we can touch the West African diaspora, but even if you want to go 1776 to 1865, this whole time of slavery, even colonial slavery, British slavery, it happened 1776. Even the writers of this Declaration of Independence had slaves in the crib. What are they talking about? We all have this right. They were using that right and using it wrongly and had slaves. And then, of course, 1865, what supposedly happens is 13th Amendment. And every week, I'll give you a little black history without just overwhelming you, because I come to preach Jesus, not black history. But I am going to drop something on you each week this month. So just catch a little something that can help you, because supposedly 13th Amendment, we're freed, right? Declaration of Independence. But then supposedly the Reconstruction period. But during the Reconstruction period, what did they do? 1865, 1866, I love this stuff, and social studies books don't teach it. All your child sees at school is Martin Luther King, and he would say, black history is bigger and wider than me. And you got beautiful persons here, they're much smarter than me, who do not know enough about your own history. You know who has the number one hit song, you know hip-hop stuff, you know the latest dance, you know who's doing what on social media, but do you know anything about the black codes? And how are you going to teach if you don't know? Because 1865, 1866, they come up with this set of laws called the Black Codes. The Black Codes. I don't have time to unpack it all. Suffice it to say, let's create some laws to push blacks back into subjugation and marginalization. Since now legally they're free, how do we get them back to bondage? So they create these Black Codes. Downtown, are you looking at me? Black Codes. Okay, if you walk next to a railroad track, you go to jail. If you raise your voice in front of a white person, particularly a white woman, you go to jail. Hey, black man, if you have your own farm, if you sell anything off your farm after dark, you can go to jail. So they make up all these crazy laws, and the goal is to force people back to a kind of de facto slavery. Great book you ought to read by a white brother from another mother called Slavery by Another Name. Are you taking a picture of that? Don't let your kids tweet nothing else till they read this. Slavery by Another Name. And Blackman wrote it, and he's a beautiful white brother from another mother. Slavery by Another Name means 1865, 1866, if we push you back to de facto slavery, not only does that push you out of American society, but more than that, it pushes you out of the political process. And it lasted for six more decades. So one black man in a white house in 2008 does not erase the injustice that brothers and sisters have dealt with for over 400 years. Are y'all listening to me? Yeah. So now what happens now? Oh my goodness, I'm out of time. What do you do in 2019? You create another black code called Jim Crow Jr., called the criminal justice system. A brother can't get food stamps or welfare or live in the projects or HUD housing, which creates another de facto slavery. Because slave says, since we can't eat, we'll go back to the master. And bruh say, since I can't get a living, I'll go back to dope. When he go back to dope, he goes back to the joint. When he goes back to the joint, they get paid again. And it's a vicious circle. But I got a word for the devil. The prison ministry at the Word Church is not just taking a track to the prison. We are dealing with re-entry and training, brothers, and helping your mind go to another level so you can't be pushed back to the same system, that caste system. Happy Black History. I gotta go. I wrote this down because I wanted to quote it properly. And I'm gonna get in trouble here, so I'm gonna need y'all to get my back. I know Pastor be starting stuff. If some white police had shot some beautiful black brother this week, you guys know I'd be all over it. If something or some injustice had happened, but the Lord said to me, what would Dr. King say if he was alive about the governor of Virginia? And this picture, even my own church may disagree with me, that's okay. You take a picture in 1984, and you say it's not even you on the picture and no one can prove it. Since then, you've tried to walk upright and you gotta lose your job over something that happened in 84 because people who are trying to get themselves ready to be president in 2020 are coming out, and some people who don't want justice, they just wanna feel real black. So now anytime we get a chance, here's my question, what if all of you lost your job over a picture in 84? Okay, I'm by myself, but I'm preaching good. I read this, and I want to quote it. The night of the election in 2017, as Governor of Virginia Ralph Northam spoke of America's racial fault lines, which he had said were exacerbated by the White House and had inflamed his own contest, Virginia has told us the end of divisiveness, that we will not condone hatred and bigotry, and to the end of politics that we've torn this country apart. He said, adding, it's gonna take a doctor, which he is, to heal all these differences. I don't know that brother that well, but I do know, and Dr. Myers and I concur, you gotta be careful, you purist, that somebody makes one mistake, if they made it, and you're just gonna jump all over them, because if we're gonna start pulling up pictures, I'm not saying that you have to agree with me. I'm saying that part of being a prophet is really cute to talk about when there's injustice against a black brother. But I personally feel there might be more to this than people know. And before you just jump all over this, try to be the most toughest black person in the country and get you a new office, let's be honest and take a good look. Does he need to be disqualified from something that might have happened 30 years ago? Because God knows I was a trip 20 years ago. Anybody here, God done changed. Now, everybody here, I'm sure I'll take some hits for this, but I told my wife, being a prophet means you have to say what you feel. When I get up and talk about the injustice of a white brother against a black brother, I will have more credibility than somebody who only comes out when it's somebody black. Everybody deserves justice, and everybody deserves a second chance. When Charlottesville happened, he went there and campaigned against that. So I just want to speak of fairness. All I'm trying to tell you is all of our life, we've been making it on a little. When we go back to slavery, you do know they took the sausage and the bacon, and that's what the master ate. Then they took the rest of the pig and sent it over to the slave quarters. But we pimped that ride so much, we gonna create something called shitlins. And now some of y'all got money and still like shitlins. Touch your neighbor and say, we've been making it on a little. Go ahead. And don't you look at me like that. Is there anybody here all your life, God's been stretching your little, because little becomes much when you put it in the hands of God. Slap somebody and say, just give me a little. Go ahead. When God gives you a little, what will you do with it? God bless you. Goodbye. The next verse says, thank you. Elijah said, that's good. That's good. Go on, girl. Make that biscuit. I know you think you're going to die. Go and make that biscuit. But I got one thing I got to tell you, and you're going to think it's bugged out. Give me something first. I know you think it's over. Truth be told, if you and your son eat it, y'all dead anyway. Because based on your mindset, this is the Last Supper. So God didn't send me by here for me. Because a bird been feeding me the last 6 months. Do you think I need your little biscuit when God had a bird feeding me? I'm not here for me. That's to the beautiful brothers in here. And men of the word, I bet not hear this out of y'all mouth. We too strong and intelligent for that. Them churches kill me. They gonna ask you to put your last in, put your money in. Has any brother you was with ever got mad at you for putting money in the strip club? Did he ever look over at you and say, man, you stupid? No, he was making it rain too. When y'all went to the game to watch the Cavs lose, did he call you stupid? But not when you come to church and say, I'm gonna make God first. Here come the family, you stupid, really? Because I got more peace than all y'all. I got more joy. I got more everything. God makes a way. Elijah represents the church. Elijah represents the kingdom. God said there's a lady that's going to die if you don't go there and give her a chance to participate in her own future. I'm preaching better than you responding. When we tell you it's time to tithe and give, you can have this narrow, provincial, cognitive appropriation that the streets have to giving. Or you can say, no, I don't have everything I want, but God, when I wake up in the morning, I'm giving you the first part of my day. And God, if you give me a check, I'm giving you the first part of my check. And yes, I go to the Word Church, and they can talk about me, but I'm gonna give my first fruits every year. Because when you are faithful over a few things.
Sit down. If you clap loud enough, he may sing just a few, just a little bit. Let's get him while we got him, all right?
This is a song I should have got.
Thank you.
God.